Welcome to the Modern Yogi Podcast. An exploration of ancient wisdom.
Hello, hello, everyone.
Welcome back. We're on episode number
95.
We are so happy to be back with you guys. Thank you for tuning in.
It's a good day to have a good Modern Yogi podcast day.
Yeah. So we are on chapter 11, text number 49. Quick recap of last episode, ladies. So Arjuna was like, hey, I'm skilled.
That's better.
Right. He was like, Krishna, I love you. And thank you so much for showing me this form. However, if you could kindly go back into the regular form, that would be great.
But before you do that real quick, just kind of show me your forearm form, because like that would also be like a little less scary. And then we can have this conversation.
Yes.
And it was out of Arjuna's humility that he was also afraid, because it kind of seemed that Duryodhan or Evil D was not that afraid when he saw even a small fraction of Krishna's universal form. Because remember, Arjuna was the only one that it was revealed to.
Yeah.
But yeah, out of his humility, he felt like, oh no, the Krishna is actually God, not just my friend and cousin. Have I offended him in any way by just being his buddy?
That's it. It's like he also apologized, which is a very, very important quality for any devotee of Krishna to cultivate. When we hurt someone or anything, or subconsciously or consciously, asking for forgiveness, very important.
Very, very important.
All right. Anything else?
That was kind of it. I mean, we're getting to the point where, Krishna was like, oh yeah, sure, I'll do that nicely. Like I was happy to show you my universal form. I'm happy to just, you know, go back to normal.
And you're the only one who has ever seen this form. What a beautiful, beautiful thing that he gave Arjuna. Like something that no one ever gets, not from penances, not through austerities, not through rites and rituals, like none of that. It was because of Arjuna's love that Krishna showed that form.
Yeah.
Very important lesson for us all.
Thank you, Arjuna, and your love.
Yes. And the invocation, please, ladies.
Om Gyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Translation. I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto them. Chapter 11, text number 49, Priyadarshini.
You have been perturbed and bewildered by seeing this horrible feature of mine. Now let it be finished. My devotee, be free again from all disturbances. With a peaceful mind, you can now see the form you desire.
Mm. Ooh, one more time.
You have been perturbed and bewildered by seeing this horrible feature of mine. Now let it be finished. My devotee, be free again from all disturbances. With a peaceful mind, you can now see the form you desire.
Mm. Yeah, I kind of love this because Krishna is very self-aware, right? He knows that the universal form is a lot. Like it's intense. It's a lot. And he knows that Krishna said the word horrible. He uses a word in Sanskrit called goram, which means horrible, which I guess it's a pretty intense, like to see everything and to see the good, the bad, the evil, all the demigod, literally all the planets and all of the bad sides too, right? Like the darkness as well as the goodness. Yeah. I think Krishna is acknowledging and being super self-aware that like this was intense. This was an intense experience that Arjuna just went through. And so he's like, now, okay, I got it. I'm like literally, and like Arjuna only had to ask once, like, please go back to the forearm form, which I want. Krishna says, yep, let it be finished. And then with a peaceful mind, you can now see the form that you desire. He only has to ask one time, which is great.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting that Krishna has many purposes to do things, you know? So we know that he revealed his universal form for many different reasons. And in this purport, Prabhupada says one of the additional reasons, because we know that in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna was worried about killing Bhishma and Drona, who were his worshipful grandfather and master. But Krishna said he didn't need to be afraid of killing them because, and side story, we remember, or no, we didn't read this, but we've talked about this when the sons of Dhritarashtra tried to disrobe Draupadi, their wife, at the whole assembly of Kurus. Apparently, Bhishma and Drona were silent. They kind of didn't go to her aid. So that they acquired bad karma for doing that. They didn't uphold dharma, principle, morality there. So basically, in the purport, Prabhupada's saying that Krishna showed his universal form to Arjuna to show him that these people were already killed. They were already as good as dead for their unlawful actions, that was just one example of them. So that scene was shown to Arjuna because Prabhupada says devotees are always peaceful and they can't perform horrible actions. So the purpose of the revelation of the universal form was now shown. And then, as you said, Shama, now Arjuna just wanted to see the regular forearm form of Krishna. So I thought that was interesting to hear a little more another layer of reason for Krishna revealing this form.
Yeah. Right. What's interesting is like Bhishma and Drona, the reason why they should have been killed because they were silent is because Bhishma and Drona were like the elders in the Kuru, like that dynasty, right? Like they were the elders and they should have stepped in before any of this escalated, right? Yeah. It went from 0 to 100 real fast with that whole Draupadi scene. But like because the elders were silent, they were neglectful of their duty and therefore ergo.
Yeah. Bhishma is Arjuna's grandfather, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
And then Drona is his like combat teacher.
Yeah, the teacher. Like the warrior. He's like literally the teacher of all the warriors. Dronacharya.
Right. Like the utmost leader. So everyone in a high position also back then was supposed to be very spiritually minded and like guided by spiritual principles. And to protect women is a spiritual principle also, as well as just like cultural and everything. And so by being the most sort of learned or like the eldest.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And I think that's a good lesson for us too. It's like as we get older in our lives and we take on more responsibility at work or at home and we become these people that are in a place of leadership, it really is bad karma for us if we let like things happen below our leadership. Right. That we could have prevented.
Oh, that's a good application of this. Yeah.
Because like if we're put in a certain position through experience or time or whatever it is in work or in home, right. Or in our families, right. We have a certain responsibility to take care of the people that can't take care of themselves. Right. I watched this TikTok the other day. It was like, if you have become the type of person that would have protected your younger self, you're doing it right. You know? Like if you have become that person that would have protected your younger self, like that's exactly what we're supposed to do.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's really, really important. As we go through our lives, our duty is to protect those who can't protect themselves.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Those within our
capacity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, what we can't do. Within our,
our bubble. The ones that we can protect.
Yeah. Like whose responsibility it is for us to protect too, right? Because we can't. Yeah. We can't take care of the whole
we
world.
Can't, we can't, yes, you're right. We can't take care of everyone. But I think the people that look up to us, our younger siblings, people in our family that look up to us, you know, people in our workplace that we are responsible to, right?
Yeah. Right.
Not necessarily responsible for, but we're responsible to them to teach them certain ways.
Right. In part of the purport, because I know last episode we talked about how a devotee really, once they're at that level that they have the divine vision, they're not so interested in seeing the universal form. And here Prabhupada adds another reason why devotees aren't so interested, because it doesn't enable one to reciprocate loving feelings. Because with Krishna's more personal, either forearmed or two-armed form, he can reciprocate. It's a back and forth with the lover and the loved, the giver and the receiver, both ways mutually. But with this universal form, it's a little bit, it's hard to have a personal relationship with the universal form.
Yeah.
So, and all the devotee wants is then love.
Yeah.
So that's why they're not so attracted to the universal awe and reverent form.
Yeah. Krishna says that it's like scary and horrible and fearful, right? And no one wants to worship any sort of thing that is in a fearful way, right? We don't want that, and Krishna doesn't want that.
Totally.
Yeah. Prabhupada says to put those words that you just said, Prabhupada says devotee wants to see the two-handed form of Krishna so that he can reciprocate in loving service with the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Jai.
Yeah.
Very beautiful.
Beautiful.
So lovely.
All right.
All right. Text 50, Shama Sangeeta.
Ooh, Sanjaya said to Dhritarashtra,
Remind us where these two characters before saying about them. Who's Sanjaya? Who's Dhritarashtra?
Oh, Dhritarashtra is the blind king. He's okay. The father of Duryodhan, Evil D. And he can't see. So his assistant, Sanjaya, who has these beautiful magical VR glasses that can actually see what's happening on the battlefield, even though both of them are not on the battlefield. Very interesting. Fun fact. We've probably already explained this. But so this is a conversation within a conversation. And now we're breaking from Krishna and Arjuna's conversation and we're going back to Sanjaya and Dhritarashtra's conversation.
Right.
So Sanjaya said to Dhritarashtra, I always just like, I just mutter it and say it really fast so no one catches me. Sanjaya
It's like your name. The end is like your name, but with an R.
Dhritarashtra. Oh. I got it. You ready? Sanjaya said to Dhritarashtra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, having spoken thus to Arjuna, displayed his real four-armed form and at last showed his two-armed form, thus encouraging the fearful Arjuna.
That is interesting that he switched to the two-arm formed.
Yeah, but he showed the forearm and then he switched to the two-arm, yeah?
Why is that?
In the purport, Prabhupada gets into it a little bit more, which I found very interesting.
Can I speculate before you say
it? Oh,
yeah,
not
really speculation, but it's just like, I think
we're placing bets.
I think,
no, I'm joking.
I think Krishna was showing Arjuna all of him, right? So like Krishna oftentimes shows himself in a four-arm form. And so he was like, here's my universal form. Here's my four-arm form. And then here's the one you know me as, the two-arm form.
Oh. Right.
It's a good speculation.
Yeah.
I like that.
Which, yeah, I like that. I think there's so many layers to why Krishna does stuff. So I think that's a sweet interpretation. Like, yeah, he's revealing all of himself. Why wouldn't he want to take a sidestep and show all parts of him? The beginning of the purport talks about how when Krishna appeared as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki, we mentioned that, right?
Yeah.
He appeared in the prison. So yes, and if you don't know what that means, that just means you got to go back and listen to the episodes. But he first appeared as his four-arm form of Narayan, but he was requested by his parents and transformed back into an ordinary child with two arms. So Prabhupada says similarly, and this part is interesting. Krishna knew that Arjuna was not interested in seeing a four-handed form. When I read that, I thought, what? That is the opposite of what Arjuna asked. He said, I want to see your four-armed form. And there Krishna knew Arjuna did not want to see his four-armed form. All right. But since Arjuna asked to see this four-handed form, Krishna also showed him this form again and then showed him his two-handed form. So maybe Arjuna, out of like being nice, was like, all right, why don't we just take it down a notch? Like one of you had said, okay, take it down to four arms, even though Arjuna really wanted to see the two-arm form, but maybe he didn't want to like be like, put it all away. Just show me your two arms. I don't know.
It's like, knock it off, Krishna.
Well, actually also it could be a reverence thing. Like maybe he's also thinking that, you know, you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the way you've presented yourself to me is as my friend, my cousin, my mentor, whatever, but you're actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you oftentimes have four arms. And so just like, I will accept you as that. I am sorry for ever seeing you as anything other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mm. So go, like, please show me you as that. But then Krishna's like, yeah, but we're buddies, right? And like, what you want is friendship. So like, I'll show you that, but like, let's go back to us.
Right. I think that's spot on. And it shows that Krishna knows our heart no matter what we say. Like, you're saying that with your words, but I know your heart.
So sweet.
He always knows our heart.
Yeah.
There's the last little line here that I think it's really sweet, unless you want to say something before that.
Go for it.
It says, in the Brahma Samhita, it is stated, only a person whose eyes are smeared with the ointment of love can see the beautiful form of Sri Krishna.
Wow. Jai.
That's so sweet.
Mm. Guys, are your eyes smeared with the ointment of love?
It's just a little dab, but not a lot.
Just a little dab. Just
like as we discuss, we're like churning the ointment, right? Like we're kind of trying to create more ointment as we talk about Krishna.
We're trying to create more ointment so eventually at some point of our lives, we can just smear it on each other.
Right. Now, maybe we don't have enough to ground, so we got to keep churning. We got to keep churning.
We're still churning, guys. I like it. But it is a lifelong mission of ours. Three of us and everyone who's listening to smear our eyes with the ointment of love.
So sweet.
And it won't burn. It'll be beautiful.
It'll be beautiful.
All right. Anything else on this verse?
I think that's it.
What do you guys do that inspires you to churn the ointment or to make ointment? Like what wait, that's weirdly asked. Like,
that's such a weird question. But I understood what you said.
Like, what inspires you guys, you know?
To see,
to want to see Krishna?
That, or to feel it deeper.
Or to conjure love for Krishna.
Both, right? What gives you inspiration on this path? To want to see Krishna, to feel love for Krishna. Just what enlivens you on this path?
Oof.
So true. After this freaking desert I've been walking through, I don't know, man.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Wait, say the question one more time.
Yeah,
I just need to process it.
Yeah,
well.
Yeah. So it's so easy to not feel inspired when we're just, okay, whatever, chanting our rounds, doing things, we'll hit walls. And what are certain things, and it might change, right? At different phases, it'll be different activities, but what's something lately that inspires you? Like, I'll give an example for me. And this might not be all the time. This was just yesterday. I was driving back from Sequoia National Forest and we were passing this one area that looked like a scene from Star Wars. It was like this turquoise shimmering lake with ripples of like the mountains that had golden fields that it was like the song Fields of Gold. Mm. And we had a beautiful, like, melodic, instrumental, nostalgic piece playing in the background. And I was chanting my rounds. And in that moment, I just looked and it's kind of like the Gita verse, everything is but a spark of my splendor came to mind. And it was just, that's not something I do every day that churns the ointment of love or whatever, but that was a moment yesterday that's very present that I just felt like, wow, it's kind of just like it takes one moment to just lock in the feeling just right. And I just felt almost like an exhale into the mantra. And I just felt like everything's going to be all right. Because maybe a few days before I had felt more of a resistance to things, whatever, difficulties, challenges you're going through, or you feel this tension. And in that moment, I felt a release of the tension of everything fits. Everything feels like it's all part of something leading you to loving Krishna deeper. And I could almost feel like Krishna's hand orchestrating it all, like almost like a reassurance of everything you've gone through. Mm-hmm. It's being guided by me. So just trust that I'm here. And it was this, just a relax into the situation. And then as I chanted with that feeling in my heart, I'm trying to put words to it. It was literally just a flash of a feeling that I'm trying to verbalize. And in that feeling, it contained so much emotion that when I chanted, it brought me, like, it was just it almost felt like a honey, a thick syrupy feeling of just heaviness, but in a good way, just of relaxation and grounding and the chanting and the beautiful nature. I just felt so grateful for this path. Mm. So when I don't know, that's kind of would be my answer to the question. It doesn't even have to be what you always do. That it was just a moment that I felt churned the ointment of love yesterday. So has there been any moments recently that can come to mind? And if it pops in your mind later, say it in that moment, but what, anything recently?
Yeah, I think the question trips me up because, like, the ointment of love is, like, hard to process in my brain.
No, you don't like ointment of love? Is that a weird phrase for you?
But I think what you're also saying is, like, what builds our love towards Krishna so that we want to see him, right? Like,
that's a better way to say the question.
Thank you.
Yes. So I think for me it's service, but I think it's interesting because sometimes my life is really busy. Oftentimes my life is really busy.
Yeah.
And like going to service, like, can be hard. Just kind of like going to the gym, right? Like it'd be like, oh my God, getting in the car and like getting there. But once I'm there, like once I'm making garlands or doing kirtan or, you know, whatever, doing the podcast, right? Like before the recording, it's like we have to clean and set up and da 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 and all these things that come before all the effort. And that can be a little hard sometimes. But once I'm in it, and I'm like, okay, I'm here. I'm going to be present. Once that I've like clicked into that, like I feel so nourished by the service itself, right?
Absolutely.
So like by us reading, by discussing, by understanding, by also, you know, doing the garlands. It's like such a meditative thing. You want to make something beautiful for Krishna, or by doing kirtan. And for kirtan, it's like I get goosebumps all the time, especially if I click in. And I don't always click in, but when I'm able to click into it, it's this feeling of like Krishna's all around me. Krishna's in everyone's heart and everyone is just chanting his name with so much love. And I just feel so inspired. And it, like, I think that plus friendship, like, is like what sort of has always kept me going. And especially right now in my life, like those things make me feel like, oh my gosh, I feel so grateful. So much love, so much appreciation and so much connection to Krishna in doing those things.
Yeah, I love that. I'll second that. Like, absolutely, service. Yes, 100%.
Oh, you're both looking at me. Okay, all right. Well, I think one of my really good friends said the other day is like, you can't like detach from this world without attaching to Krishna, right? Like you can't just detach from everything, right? You have to attach in some way, some form. And I think like mine is like reading and discussing. Like I think with like even what we do in this podcast, like I feel closer to Krishna when I'm talking to you guys about Krishna. And Krishna has made that known in the Gita. Yeah. He's like, you are going to feel joy when you converse about me. Like literally he has said that. And literally it is true, you know? And I think that is, because I am a talker. Like I'm a comedian. I like talking. I like discussing. Yeah. I like all that stuff. I like reading and I also like discussing. And so I think that is when I feel the ointment of love churning in my heart.
Oh, so sweet. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really nice points. I love that.
Great question, Jamali.
Thank you. Thank you.
So sweet. All right. Text 51. I don't remember who was reading.
I think this is the third one, is it?
Yeah, yep. 49, 50, 51. 51,
Shamali. All right.
Yes.
When Arjuna, this is still Sanjaya talking. When Arjuna thus saw Krishna in his original form, he said, O Janardhan, seeing this human-like form, so very beautiful, I am now composed in mind and I am restored to my original nature.
Wait,
I don't know. Can you repeat that again?
Yeah. That's a pivotal moment for Arjuna. Yeah. So, when Arjuna thus saw Krishna in his original form, he said, O Janardhan, seeing this human-like form so very beautiful, I am now composed in mind and I am restored to my original nature. What does that mean, Priya?
Well, no, I was just thinking that means that Arjuna was actually, even though he was saying all these praises towards Krishna, there was like an underlying fear and underlying overwhelm that was happening up until the moment Krishna went back to his original form.
Right.
So
right.
Like this whole time we were thinking like Arjuna was like in awe, but more than awe, like he was in awe, he was in fear. Like there was so much going
overwhelmed.
On. It was overwhelming. Like he wasn't acting like calm as he usually is, because he's very equipoised by nature.
Right. And that totally tracks, Priya, because I just looked up in the ending of the purport, which we didn't read this line. It said, because Krishna is the director of the universe, he just banished the fear of Arjuna, his devotee, and showed him again his beautiful form of Krishna. So it's true. Up until that point, Arjuna was fearful, even though saying all those beautiful praises.
So Krishna can control our emotions?
Yeah.
I mean, he can control anything.
He can control anything, right?
But that's it. That is an interesting fact.
Right. So here where I'm going with this, right? So if there is something that you're going through, whether materially or spiritually and mentally, emotionally, why not give that to Krishna? Mm. Because Krishna can change it in an instant, right? We just have to have that prayer and that faith that it will happen. Because if Krishna can literally control Arjuna's emotions, then Krishna can control anything that little old us is going through. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like if we're going through something distraught or disturbing right now, or like something that's not going our way, we leave it to Krishna and have faith that whatever Krishna decides, it's going to work out. And Krishna can also change anything in a moment's notice.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like that's offering up the feeling to Krishna.
Yeah. Give that feeling to Krishna. Krishna can change it in a heartbeat if he wants to.
That's really sweet thought process.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why my instinct was to say like, but why should I burden Krishna with that? And I think some people have that feeling too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But as Shyamali has said, as you said, right? Like Krishna already knows the feeling in us.
Yeah.
He's also building this loving relationship with us. He loves us. So it's like, trust that when the instinct and the inspiration comes from your gut or your heart, just like to make a prayer for Krishna for help, it means that Krishna wants to help you already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so just let it. So this is a really lovely reminder.
Yeah. But think about like, also like, that is a great reminder. But like, think about also like, if one of your friends is going through a hard time and they don't tell you and they just go through it silently, like you would feel hurt by that, you know? You'd be like, why couldn't you just like tell me? Or like, I want to relieve some of that burden, right? Because
totally.
I care about you. I don't want you to have to do this all by yourself. And I think Krishna has that same attitude towards us.
Yeah. When you said it, I was like, yeah, I would listen. I would be there. I would do for any of my friends. So imagine Krishna, who's a much better person than me.
Yeah. And can hold a lot more burdens than us.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Whew.
Yeah. It's like we're so not alone on this process. From the moment our soul has come into this material world, Krishna has come down with us. So he's in our hearts. So we're never, ever, ever alone.
Mm.
So it's interesting because Sanjaya saw that Arjuna saw Krishna, and then Arjuna said this. So like, it's very interesting. It's like the narration is still happening in this verse.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
A story within a story. Totally.
Yep.
All right. Is there anything in this particular verse text that you want to share?
Not that I highlighted, surprisingly enough.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Arjuna's just happened to be back in his original nature and composed in mind and not overwhelmed and not scared, which I get, because if any of us saw the Universal Form, we would poop our pants. Yeah.
We would. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So let it be marked. Chapter 11, text 51. Arjuna has composed himself.
It's
in the process of, I mean, do you think he's already done, or it's like
I think it's,
but at least
the process
has started of like, okay, he's no longer like, whoa.
Right. Yeah. He says, I am restored to my original nature, but they're going to keep talking.
Yeah. Okay. Let's do this. Yeah.
Yes.
Text 52.
Priya.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear Arjuna, this form of mine you are now seeing is very difficult to behold. Mm-hmm. Even the demigods are ever seeking the opportunity to see this form, which is so dear.
That is so interesting. Mm. I must say that when Krishna just casually whips out his universal form, I don't think Krishna said this form's difficult to see. He just like, whoosh, universal form. And then when he whips out his just two-hand, sweet, loving form, he's like, now behold, this one is hard to see.
I was trying to figure that out, if he was referring to his general form.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. I think it becomes a contradiction in the brain of like seeing Krishna be like a normal person,
absolutely,
but also seeing Krishna, knowing Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Right. I think that's totally true, because it's so dear and it's so confidential, because if you don't have the right mindset, the right vision, what you're saying, Priya, is you can get a little confused, like, oh, he's the most beautiful person I've seen, but this is God? This is Krishna? He has a form like me. Two arms, two legs, a head. Yeah, so
It's a different type of difficulty. Like the universal form was a difficulty of like overwhelm.
Right.
And this is intense. And I am very scared now. But then this is a different type of difficulty.
Totally, yeah. Totally.
It's a bit confusing maybe.
Yeah. Prabhupada says that here the word that they use in the original Sanskrit text is Su Durdarsam. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right.
Su Durdarshan Sharm.
Su Durdarsam. Anyway, that word is significant because it indicates that Krishna's two-handed form is still more confidential.
Because it's intimate.
Yeah. It's because even beyond the universal form, the form of Krishna with two hands is even more difficult to see, even for demigods like Brahma and Lord Shiva. Everybody, even the demigods, desire to see Krishna in this form. And Prabhupada says there's evidence in the Srimad Bhagavatam that when Krishna was supposed to be in the womb of his mother Devaki, all the demigods from heaven came to see the marvel of Krishna, and they offered prayers to the Lord. Even if he wasn't visible at that time, they just were so eager, they just waited to see him, you know? Because his two-armed form is actually desired to be seen by demigods like Brahma and Shiva.
Wow.
That's really special.
Very special.
And we, through the path of bhakti, get a line of direct access to Krishna in that form. How beautiful.
Yeah. It's so beautiful. It's hard to conceptualize because we're so in awe by the universal form, because we're so used to Krishna just having two arms for us. He's our dear friend, you know?
Yeah. Totally. Yeah, I can see. What emotion are you feeling, Priya? You were like soaking it in there.
Yeah, no, I was just thinking, like, I'm so used to thinking of Krishna as like my friend and like just having two arms. So for me, when I saw the universal form, I was in awe, like reverence, respect, like, wow, amazing.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that I don't see those qualities in Krishna with the two arms. I still feel awe and reverence and all of those things. It's just like, it is a different relationship.
Yeah,
so it is
totally
a more intimate relationship. And so I can see why Krishna's like, hey, this is a big deal. Like, I'm going back to two arms, but now it means something different. And,
and it's not
everyone wishes they could see that after understanding I'm the Supreme Personality of God.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's almost like getting on the in of someone, on the in group. And everyone wants to be on the in group of whatever, famous celebrity, great epic personalities. Everyone wants to be on the in group. So Krishna's two-armed form is like being on the in group of God. You get to see this form.
Yeah, and all these demigods are lining up to be in this in-group for Krishna.
They really are.
It's like when you say in-group, I'm thinking like, let's say, pick a celebrity, any celebrity.
The one who played Anakin in Star Wars.
Oh,
I don't know, just off the top of my head.
No, I don't even know who that is.
Okay. All right, everyone, I want to just go with Miley Cyrus.
Okay. Sure. Shot down.
Sure.
Simple. Most
Miley
people
Cyrus.
Know.
I vote for Miley Cyrus.
Sure, okay, let's sure.
Go. So like, I think everyone, like wanting to be in the inn means wanting to see what Miley Cyrus is like on every day.
Absolutely.
Right? Like, yeah. It's not necessarily that you want to be like, oh, I want to just be around the famous people and be famous too. Maybe for some people. But in terms mm-hmm. of Krishna, it's like, getting to see like the normal version of someone who seems so supreme.
Yeah.
It's like, or
yes.
getting to see the everyday, like yeah. it's fascinating, right?
Yeah.
Like,
and that's why paparazzis are so famous. Exactly what you're saying. You know, yeah. we want to see the what's the real side of yeah. them? What's the them beyond the all the layers?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I remember when I first moved to LA and I was like meeting people, right? And then my friends from elsewhere around the world who didn't live in LA would be like, oh my God, what's this person like in person? Like, are they nice? Are they mean? You know, like people right. want to know who that person really is.
Yeah. Right, you know? Right. Yeah.
And even knowing a little bit about someone who's like somewhat famous, you feel so cool. Like, yeah. oh my God, I saw yeah. this famous person at this vegan place. They must be vegan. Like,
yeah.
oh, like this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so
yeah.
imagine Krishna.
Right.
Right. Krishna is the famous person and we're like, yeah, yeah, we get to like be friends with them.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. Yeah. And I think it's so confidential because in part of the purport, Prabhupada said, and this is exactly what you started saying, Priya, in the beginning, that it's so open to being misunderstood. So Prabhupada says, if one uses a material process to approach the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is to be considered a great historical personality or a learned philosopher, but he is not an ordinary man. Oh, he is an ordinary man. Huh? And even though he was so powerful.
Wait, just read it. Just read it.
Yeah, just read it like a normal person.
No, because that was my confusion being verbalized because I just thought that sentence went different. Basically, right. If one uses a material process, Krishna's a historical personality, a very learned philosopher, but he is an ordinary man. And even though he was so powerful, he had to accept a material body. Why he is an ordinary man. I thought
like
that
in
was
this
saying,
situation, like this like war situation, and everyone sees right. him as an ordinary man.
Right. I think so. Right. Exactly. And then Prabhupada says that is a materialistic calculation of the Supreme. So he starts going into different speculations that people can make, different calculations. So thus some think that the universal form of Krishna, which was manifested to Arjuna, is more important than his personal form. They believe that in the ultimate issue, the absolute truth is not a person. Right. So they basically have like for different people.
Who's they?
Impersonalists. For different okay. people approaching Krishna, if they don't have bhakti, if they don't have love, they might think this universal form is the top form because Krishna doesn't have a human form like us. God doesn't have a human form. So, okay, sure, this is like that. Or someone else might think, Krishna was a nice historical personality or some great philosopher, but he's not God. So I think Prabhupada's basically kind of delineating the different
perspectives
yeah,
that
different
people can
assumptions
have on the forms of Krishna. Yeah.
Absolutely. So that's why connecting it to what you said in the beginning, Priya, I think it's just that it's so open to being misunderstood, misrepresented. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Prabhupada says that the conclusion is that although to see the universal form of Krishna is very, very difficult and not possible for anyone and everyone, it is still more difficult to understand Krishna's personal form as Shamsundar, which is the two-arm form.
So beautiful.
Right.
I think that's a really cool and interesting thought process because if Prabhupada and Krishna were not saying that, we might value the universal form more. Because it shows more, because it's grand, because it's scary, right. because it's like all encompassing.
Yeah.
And I think without really thinking it through, without having this information, we might just be like, oh, this is bigger, so it's more valuable. Right? Krishna with two arms is simpler, so maybe less valuable. But reality is more about the relationship that you can have with the form. And the relationship you can have with the universal form is distant.
Yeah.
It's awe, reverence, it's fear, whatever it might be. But the relationship you can have with the Supreme in his two-arm form is that of a friend, brother, child, lover, whatever. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You know, and also what you said, Shama, before about talking about Krishna makes you feel close and the ointment of love and all that stuff. It says it again briefly here. Those who are actually in the Vedic line hear about Krishna, and by repeatedly hearing and talking about him, Krishna becomes dear. So we've discussed so many times, Krishna's covered by his Yogamaya potency, and he's not to be seen or revealed to anyone and everyone. Mm-hmm. And only by one to whom he reveals himself can he be seen. So we're through this process of talking about him, he's becoming dearer and dearer.
And dearer. So good. So good. All right. Anything else before we move on to text 53?
No. I think that's good.
Yeah. I just like this part how Prabhupada says that by love, devotional service, and surrender, we can have our spiritual eyes opened and can see Krishna by revelation. That's so beautiful. Ooh, we all have spiritual eyes there.
All right.
Text 53, Shama Sangeeta.
All right. Krishna is saying, the form you are seeing with your transcendental eyes cannot be understood simply by studying the Vedas, nor by undergoing serious penances, nor by charity, nor by worship. It is not by these means that one can see me as I am.
Interesting.
Again, I think this is a little repetitive, and I'm wondering if it's because Sanjaya is telling the king the story again, because we got a little bit of this from Krishna directly earlier, right?
Right. Yep.
So they're kind of reminding us of the same concept of like, this friendship cannot be bought.
Ooh,
right.
Yeah.
Right. That's right? A good way to put it.
You can't be like doing it by studying the Vedas or doing penances or charity or worship. Like it has to be done only by love.
Yeah. Like if I had to put an example about either one of you, if I had to, if I wanted to develop a relationship with Shama, right? I couldn't read a book about Shama and then just expect that we're friends. Yeah.
Right.
I couldn't be like, Krishna, make me friends. Okay. Maybe not Krishna, because Krishna can do anything, but I couldn't just be like, okay, if I fast for 7 days, I will be best friends with Shama. Yeah. Right. Or I couldn't be like, oh, if I give money to Shama or others, I will be friends with Shama.
Right.
Or if I just like, you know, think like Shama, you're the best. You're the greatest. That doesn't mean we're going to develop the best friendship. We might become friends.
Wait, how much money are we talking though?
$100.
No, I get what you're saying, right? It's like all of these things won't work.
Right. Like, to develop a real deep like friendship, like the best friendship, like close, you know, you really understand that person. It cannot be bought. It cannot be fabricated. It cannot be, it's a natural thing that happens through a slow process of getting to know each other and like doing service for one another and, you know, just that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, absolutely. I think text 53 is kind of a continuation of 52, where it's really just honing in on the concept that even the demigods we mentioned, that it's even difficult for them to understand Krishna and see him in this way. That's why they're always in the hope of seeing Krishna in his two-handed form. So he's really just emphasizing how special this form is that Arjuna is able to see now, because if not, I don't know, it might be misunderstood. And big light show's done.
And last line of the purport says, Krishna can only be understood through the path of devotional service, as explained by Krishna himself in the next verse. Shall we, Shyamali?
We shall.
Text 54, Shyamali.
Krishna says, my dear Arjuna, only by undivided devotional service can I be understood as I am, standing before you, and can thus be seen directly. Only in this way can you enter into the mysteries of my understanding. Oh, that's so beautiful.
Yeah. Can you repeat it one more time, Shyamali?
Yeah. My dear Arjuna, only by undivided devotional service can I be understood as I am, standing before you, and can thus be seen directly. Only in this way can you enter into the mysteries of my understanding. I love that last line. Only in that way can you enter into the mysteries of my understanding.
What a beautiful line. That was really nice.
Yeah.
What Krishna says here is really cool. It's like only by undivided devotional service. What do you think that means?
Undivided devotional service. I mean, I think that's kind of how Priya was saying when answering the ointment of love question. She said it's through devotional service that she really feels Yeah, that feeling.
But the undivided part.
I think Krishna consciousness, the words itself mean like to always be thinking of Krishna. Mm. And so undivided devotional service literally means Krishna is your whole world. And it's, I think, something we're trying to aspire to, right?
Yeah.
At this point in time, Krishna is a big part of our worlds. And like we want to make him a bigger and bigger and bigger part of our worlds as much as we can as we go on.
Totally. Go ahead.
Yeah, you probably say this to your kids. Like, well, I need your undivided attention.
Yeah,
right?
It's totally.
Like not looking. Like, because Maya in this material world can be so distracting and all the bells and whistles of everything. And Maya's very powerful. Maya Devi is very good at her job and what she does and like putting all these bells and whistles in our face to distract us from Krishna. But the moment like we like put those horse blinders on and like can give Krishna our undivided love, like that's like the whole point of everything.
Totally. Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. So this board kind of goes to talk about like the last couple of things that were said. Like, you know, Prabhupada's reiterating as well. And he's talking about like, well, you know, in the last verse we talked about how Krishna can be bought, right? So not through penance, not through charity, not through worship. And so he kind of goes like, well, there are these like, when it comes to penance, we can do penance by observing like fastings. And one of the fastings that you can do is fast on Janmashtami, which is Krishna's appearance day. And it's usually the 11th day after the new moon and the 11th day after the full moon. And so basically for Janmashtami, it's a bit more of a fast because you fast until midnight or technically whenever Krishna is born. And these Ekadashis happened twice a month, right? So that's the kind of penance you can do as a devotee. And then when it comes to charity, it says charity should be given to devotees of Krishna who are engaged in his devotional service to spread the Krishna philosophy or Krishna consciousness.
Right. The greatest charity of all, love of Krishna.
Yep.
And I think that's so lovely. There's so many initiatives, at least here in Los Angeles, there's so many initiatives, devotees trying to finding new ways and doing it successfully of sharing Krishna consciousness with others through like programs like Mantra House or the university preachings or yoga studios or us with the podcast. Like there's so many ways in which we can give charity to continuing like sharing Krishna consciness. Right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And Krishna says only in this way. So like when we develop that loving relationship with Krishna, Krishna says it specifically, like only in this way you can enter in the mysteries of my understanding, like the beginning of even understanding me.
Right. Yeah. There's one line in the beginning of the purport that says there are so many rules and regulations. And if one at all wants to understand Krishna, he must follow the regulative principles described in the authoritative literature. And I think that's interesting because oftentimes like this to me just shows how blended they're like the steps you need to take to climb the ladder to bhakti. And sometimes we think it's all love or it's all rules and regulations, but you got to merge the two because the whole point of the rules and the whole point of these books is to develop a feeling of love. But you can't just wake up one day and have that feeling if you've just done nothing and sat on the couch all day and not practice. So they're giving you just a structure, formula to follow how you can achieve Krishna.
And that formula makes sense to me also in terms of friendship, because if I say to you, Shyamalee, I say, I love you so much. And then I never see you. I never make the time. Like the rules sort of like the unspoken rules of friendship is like to put time into the friendship, to be genuine, to share and like all of these things. If I don't follow those rules, then I cannot further the relationship. But if I don't have love for you and I follow those rules, then also the relationship doesn't further. So there's a combination of like consistent effort and love that gets you to that deeper connection.
Totally. Yeah. The merging of the two.
Yeah. This text has so much in the purport that, you know, I think everyone should take a time to read through.
Yeah.
Because it's a really lengthy one and it's like putting a lot of things into context. Is there anything else you guys want to share from it?
And there also, it's like doubling down on this notion of love, right? Like it's like really reiterating that the only way to get to Krishna is from the heart. That's like a heart-centered approach to Krishna.
Yeah. I think maybe we're out of time to delve into all of it, but maybe we can just recap it.
Yeah, let's do a recap of this one.
Let's do that.
Yeah,
let's do it.
Let's do it. All right, so please join us next time. We will be on chapter 11, text number 55, with a recap of 54 purport.
Wonderful.
Sounds great.
See you next time.
Bye.
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 Hello, beautiful souls. If you like what you're hearing, please follow us on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast.
And if you love what you're hearing, please make sure to share a link to our podcast at Modern Yogi Podcast with all your friends, families, and long-lost cousins.
And if you have any questions at all, send us a DM on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast, and we'll be sure to get back to you.
Thank you for listening to
The Modern Yogi.